Blog Talk Radio.
I see the morning.
But like that dog, he don't know what's good for him. He tearing up his own cage floor and sitting there shivering. About much sense y'all got, like that dog.
Take me in like I've never been. Lead me now to your heart, sugar. Take me in by the river's bend. There I can wash away my sins. Oh, won't you take me in?
I've been there once and I'll go again, just as long as you're the one to take me in. Like a free bird circling in the wind, I'll fly to your cage so you can take me in. Oh, won't you take me in? I've seen our mothers cry within, from our fathers who refuse to call us in. But I sing my hands and nails in their skin that break this hurt. Oh, to take me in. Oh, won't you take me in?
I'm Supa Reef, and this is the Real Talk for Real People study show. You know, we are like children, so to speak, especially in regards to our studies. And we study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And the reason why I make that parallel suggestion, just like children, we don't know anything. We think we know some things, but we don't study anything. So just like children, you're not going to know anything. And basically, if you listen to another child, see, a child don't know anything. And so if they listen to other children, basically out going to become one and the same. Two of them don't know nothing and get themselves in a lot of trouble. And you see, the only way that you can study the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub is basically listen and study what he says. Otherwise, you're like two children. Think you know something, but don't know anything. Prone to get yourself in a whole lot of trouble, being childlike and state of mind. That's why we are insistent on our studies and persistent. We insist that you take these studies quite seriously. And not what Katria says, Sister Abia says, Sister Yehudi says, Sister Ima Hadora says. Yeah, but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub said. But if you are maturing into your adulthood, meaning your studies, you would understand this, why they are pertinent and imperative that you do due diligence in your studies. Now, you don't need no commentaries about what Yah said. You just need to study what Yah said. Yah is like daddy. What you going to listen to what commentaries said? The commentary basically produced by Edomites and the Fourth Kingdom. They don't know anything because they're confused about everything because Yah ain't revealing anything to them. So that's why we are persistent and insistent that you do due diligence in your study. Learn from daddy. Learn from the father. Learn to follow Yah's instructions. Learn to humble yourself before Yah. Let us study the Most High with accuracy, intelligence, humility, a bird's eye view of those studies, while leaving no stone or leaf unturned, because truth be told, those are the only words going to judge you. Commentaries are not going to judge you, especially commentaries by people that despise you. Imagine that. Imagine that. People that despise you, and you're listening, and you're running to their commentaries. Oh, my, my, my. That's why I use that parallel about children. You'll continue to be children and childlike if you continue to listen to anything other than the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. And those are like mine, your kind. See, we make everything hard. We have become a monstrosity because we make everything hard. We want to hear what the commentaries say. Well, first get your fundamentals together by virtue of the study of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub, and your people. Because for all intents and purposes, you become a monstrosity, childlike in state of mind. That's why you're a monstrosity. You want to hear what everybody else says. You don't want to study the Most High and see what he says. Oh, that's too hard. But listening to your enemies, people that despise you, oh, that's quite easy. Let them put in the word for me. I don't need to know nothing. I just need to be a Hebrew Israelite. I don't need to study Yah, unlike King David. I don't need to study Yah, unlike the high priest or any other learned Hebrew Israelite. I just need to be something special. Yes, you're something special, I imagine. But not like the way you think in your childlike state of mind. That's why repetition, self-discipline, self-control is imperative in these studies. Get the whole context together. Take everything in. See the big picture. And I assure you, you will be able to put one and one together and it'll come out two. Right now, you're putting one and one together and it's coming out one, just you. Because you're stiff-necked and stubborn. You're full of pride. And so on and so forth. And the outcome should be expected because of such state of mind, childlike. We pray that you come study with us. Get your facts right. Learn to get your facts right before you open up your mouths or before you take any course of action. Learn just like King David. Learn just like our high priest. Learn just like all our king was supposed to learn. But unfortunately, the state we find ourselves in, they didn't learn. They didn't humble themselves over the Elohim. They leaned to their own understanding, and they were stubborn at doing it, and they were good, persistent at it. and thus our outcome. We find ourselves in because of the persistence and insistence of our ages to do what they wanted to do, how they wanted to do it, and when they wanted to do it. It didn't quite work out for them, and it certainly is not working out for us. Get your facts together. Study the Most High. Examine him up, down, sideways, and so forth. Get your facts together and make the right applications. We're happy you're here to study with us. Praise God and bless his holy name. Now, if you're new to this study, you may be wondering, who are the we we're talking about? Well, we're talking about Sister Avia from New York City. Sister Hootie from Detroit, Michigan. Brother Cottrell from New York City. And yours truly, Yum Soo. We know the importance of study. We know the importance of getting your fundamentals together. Then you can, if you want to mosey on and read a commentary, so be it. But get your facts together, your fundamentals. And stop being like a childlike state of mind. Praise Yah and bless his whole name. And you may be wondering, Yum Soo, what do you know about Sister Yehudi, Sister Abiyah, Brother Cartrell? What the Most High knows, all I need to know by virtue of their actions, that they love the Most High with all their hearts, minds, souls, and strengths, and their brothers and sisters as they love themselves. And they do their due diligence in their studies. That's indicative of love of the Most High and their application of said word. Is it indicative of you or simply lip service? I can't answer that question for you. Only you can answer that question for yourself by virtue of your actions. So let me bring them on for you then. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, Pammy, and all praises and glory to Yah. This has really been a long weekend for me. But it surely was a blessed one, but I'm glad to be back and hope everyone is doing well. All praises to Yah.
And thank you. It's good to have you back. I need to give you a personal call because I need to know the ingredients on your famous chicken and dressing. Real talk. I need to give me your recipe. I want it, and I need it now.
Otherwise you're gonna fall down, huh?
Yeah, but it ain't for this Thanksgiving thing. I just like me a little turkey and dressing every now and then, a little chicken and dressing. So I'm gonna be calling you quite soon. I've got something in mind, but I know you're a good cook and I wanna hear what's yours. Maybe we can put two heads together, all right?
You got it.
Thank you, sister. I appreciate you.
No, I appreciate it.
Okay, I know it, and I appreciate you too. Now, Sister Yehudi from Detroit, Michigan, Sister Hootie, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Well, shalom. Peace be with everybody on this line, and I am thankful. Mm-hmm. The Most High always has words in my mouth, because if I say something, I mess it up. Glad
you
to be back.
You and me both. Welcome to the
club. but you know, that's a process of learning, isn't it?
It is.
Yes, how you doing, Avia? Oh, chicken and dressing, huh?
Yes, ma'am. And I'm going to give me some cranberries. I like my cranberries all sitting in the refrigerator when it's cold, when you put it on that hot dressing and chicken or turkey. Ooh, wee.
Oh, my. You know how to cook Cornish hens?
Oh, yeah.
No, I let my daughter do that.
How many she cooked?
Oh, my gosh. I'm the one that likes to play in the dirt. She's the cook. Right. My mother was the cook. I'm the planter.
I'm growing.
I want to play in the dirt. Big cook.
She get down and dirty with it.
See, right now, I'm growing, I'm growing my first time an avocado in my apartment.
Right.
I grew some onions. They turned out really well. So
how's your avocado turning out?
Well, no avocado on it. It's a tree. I was looking it up. I said, oh, well, we'll see.
Ooh,
got
ooh,
me.
Sister Hootie. Girl, sister, let me tell you, you're in the same frame of mind right there. Let me make this quick. Ate my avocado and everything, and something told me, say, try growing it. So what I did is I started off with in water. Then I seen the sprouts start to come through.
Yeah.
And so now I got to go get me some good dirt and stuff, and I'm going to try planting it.
Yeah, fertilize
it. Long.
Yeah. Well, see, I do it. My daughter teases me. She said I could take a stick.
Oh, wow.
You make a stick grow, a dry stick.
She said,
well,
she didn't know. I grew pineapple, which in a pot, and watermelon, which is for,
You grown that all in a pot?
Yes. Oh, yes, I have two gardens. I used to garden a lot.
You're a bad lady.
Yeah, and so I would garden and my mother would cook. But I watched the things she did, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I could do a little bit, but I'm not going to take the credit. I'm not going to take it from Avia. You say she a good cook, she a good cook.
I stand by my words. I'd rather be in the garden.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Like Sushi Hootie's a good planner. And you need those skills. Because if you can't plant nothing to eat, you don't starve.
Plus, I was taught how to can foods, too, by my grandmother.
Right.
I know how to do that.
That's good. You can share, you can pass that kind of information along. Somebody eat for a long time.
But I say this right quick, Avia and Yamsu. I didn't do it the direction. I just stuck it in the dirt and put water on it, and it started growing. Because, you know, a lot of things you start off with water, let it root.
Right.
And people don't realize when you start in water, the root system isn't as strong, but it's faster, and it gives you a head start. Yeah, that's all.
Okay. Then you replant it off into soft soil.
Because my onions, I ate. I just chopped them and cleaned them and chopped them up and put them in my salads and food, so.
I bet they were healthy for you, too. I've nurtured you. Yeah.
So next year, I'm going to try my herbs. Rosemary, all that good stuff. Yes.
Okay.
So I'm thankful. Well, I'm thankful the Most High. And that's thankful that we're here. And regardless of our aches and pains, we're here. And I'm thankful to the Most High.
I got a wraparound that my Esau bought, you know, for my back, and it's got a heater, a little rubber thing, a little everything. So, you said that? Yeah. But I feel good, though.
Give her a hug for me. That's
crazy.
Give her a hug for me. That's nice.
Great. Thank you. Now, let us bring on our brother, Cartrell from New York City. Cartrell, sorry for the delay. May the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Me and the sisters chit-chat.
Yeah, it seems like I'm an afterthought. But shalom, shalom, family. I love y'all anyway. All praise to the Holy One of Israel. The God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Nice to hear your voice. Shalom, sis.
Shalom. Good to hear you.
He's talking about you, Yehudi, not Abby, y'all.
We're both
I'm talking about both of them.
No, okay. My bad. I'm sorry for stepping on your toes, brother. My bad.
What they say about two ears and one mouth.
Yes, ma'am. They certainly do. And I certainly did.
Yeah, fine.
So Yamsu, you saw one of the greatest mysteries in the universe.
What is that, my friend?
Before I get to that,
okay.
You got this thing with food. Because you're talking about coming to my house to eat my cocktail.
Why you got to snitch on me, bro? Why you got to snitch on me?
Talking about going to Sister Abby's house to eat her famous chicken. You want Sister Yehudi to grow you some watermelon and pineapple. Okay.
Why you gotta see me like that, bro? Put my business on Front Street like that.
Nah, you put it out there. I ain't put it out there. I hope your Esau is treating you well.
I called you badly about that meal that you go bad for me.
But it seems to me you've been on that topic of food this whole day.
Ain't it though, man? Ain't it though? Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm going to tell you about the mystery you saw.
Okay.
You don't even realize it.
Uh-huh.
The question is, why does the Most High call us the children of Israel? And you just broke it down, bro. You just broke it down.
We're children.
Children. The children of Israel.
Right. Exactly.
Why do you call us children? Grown adults.
We,
we
need to act like children.
We're
children.
Yeah.
Well,
no matter what age,
right.
He's our father.
Yeah, we need to act like children. Yeah. And humble. You know, children should be humble. And children should listen. And Katya, you're quite correct. And succinctly described it. We should be childlike, humble before the Most High.
Yeah. You know? Willing to learn, because children are eager to do what? Learn
to
everything.
Learn. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yes.
Because they know they don't know enough.
Right. And they thirst for knowledge, Katya. That's why I said we need to be childlike when it comes to the LOM. Because we got so full of pride, because we've been beat down, understandably, for 403 years and counting here in this universal captivity. And then whenever, unfortunately, because we've been beat down so much, then ever we acquire a little bit of anything, we run with it without any study and investigation of it. And that's not being a good child. A good child sit at that table while the teacher teaches and do whatever the teacher said to ascertain the best information. And to do critical analysis and assessment of said problems and so on and so forth. But when you never had anything as a people, I can understand why we wake up and run with anything. But we need to stop waking up and running with anything and investigate the whole thing, get the fundamentals right. Because you don't get fundamental right in anything, you're not going to be good at anything. That's true.
As fundamentals for your soul is the most critical thing in life. And Yah shows the fundamentals to preserve and save our souls according to his codes.
Right.
Not man's codes, but Yah's codes.
Exactly. And Dr., you are quite so right, Sister Avia, Sister Hudi. And that's why we do these studies, the way we do these studies. Because just like children need to be reinforced with fundamental studies. And they need to get those studies right, and they need to do it repetitiously in order to do so. So just reading the Most High Word one time is not sufficient. It's just like a child in school. We are children. So children has to keep studying over and over again to get the fundamentals right in order to know how to proceed and act within the fundamental studies. But we, like I said, unfortunately, we've never had anything that's ours. And we know this out. But so we need to study what's ours. And be repetitious in that study.
You're right. I see this. For 1 minute. It made me think about listening to your talk. He's 17 now, but when he was 4 years old, my grandson asked me, Grandma, why do people call us black? We aren't black. He said, I'm brown. So I explained it in short term, and to this day, he hasn't forgotten. He said, we just don't know where we came from. So we allow, he said, we allow other people to call us by different groups that we don't belong to. I said, you're right. Because if we look in our heritage, we'd be surprised. We're so universal because we say we're scattered and we're like speckled birds. So you're right. A child do ask questions and give them the answer, what they can understand. So you're right. We like childlike, but full grown.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank you. So that was deep. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Well, Katria, yes, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
Sissy Hootie.
Every child has to grow up and become an adult.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And every adult that's an adult know that from childhood to adulthood, you have to go through disciplines in order to stabilize your life, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
So we're supposed to be adult now with mature minds. And we've come into this knowledge of self. And we've come into what Yah requires of us, right? And Yah requires of us, it's like a job interview, because he says we are his servants, right? You a servant, you applying for a job.
Right.
And these are the qualifications. These are what's required of you in this job. And Yah has laid it out. Israel, you my servant. How do we serve you, Yah? Oh, these are the particulars. These are the details. These are the specifications. And you better know every one of them.
Exactly.
Because we're serving the supreme being of the universe. We ain't just serving some governor, mayor, president. No, we're serving the supreme being, creator of all things and everything. And he has specifics. He has specs that he expects us to follow. Full detail.
Exactly. Praise y'all, Godrell. Godrell, thank
Praise
you very much, brother. Here's what I want to ask you. Do me a favor. I know we're going to about to start in Proverbs tonight on the next segment of study, and tomorrow we'll be starting in Zephaniah after tonight's study. But here's what I want you to do. It's a special request. I want you to break that anointment, Messiah, and so on down in the fourth section. You have about an hour. If the hour would take less than that, I want you to break it down for the student. And then tomorrow, we'll proceed into Proverbs. Can you do that for me, brother?
I sure can.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Katria. May the Most High bless you.
May the Most High bless you, too.
Thank you, brother. Chapter
yes, sir.
3. Thank you, brother. The last chapter of Habakkuk. And prophet seems like he's praying in a lot of holy. He's praying and he's singing, too. We like to sing and pray, though. the prophet's prayer. The prayer of Habakkuk the prophet. On Shiknah. And he says in verse 2, Oh, Yah, I've heard your speech. And because of it, I was afraid. Oh, Yah. Revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known.
Yes.
Let it be known. Yeah, and the Most High is letting it be known. In wrath, Yah, remember mercy. And he says, Yah came from Timon, a certain Edomite clan. I don't know what Yah is making reference to that. Maybe the land in itself.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy One from Mount, and the reason why I said that, the Holy One from Mount Paran, a place where we wondered. So it seems like the first appearance of Yah to the known world at that time was when we came out of that wandering, a place where we wandered for 40 years. His glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from his hand. And there his power was hidden at first. But when we came on the scene, Yah made a presence, so it seems. Before him, well, he not actually, because Yah has always been present. It's just like our introduction to him on the known world at that time, who he really was. I mean, we know he created the universe. We knew about Adam and Eve. I should have known about it. But we were supposed to be the representative, the servants of the Most High, that made the acknowledgement of him crystal clear, but we dropped the ball unfortunately. And before him went pestilence, and fever followed at his feet. He stood and measured the earth. He looked and startled the nation by virtue of us, what we should have been doing, startling the earth, coming on the scene. And the everlasting mountains were scattered. The perpetual hills bowed. His ways are everlasting. I saw the tents of the Kushans. Ethiopian blackness, these people, in affliction, because they didn't know Yah. And we were supposed to bring and introduce him to everybody, draw all nations to the Most High.
That's why he shakes the earth up with his presence.
Exactly.
In the beginning, he wanted to walk with man, with Adam and Eve, but they violated, so Yah withdrew himself.
Exactly.
But his heart's desire is to be on planet earth, not in the heavens, but to walk amongst his creation.
Right.
But man is not in tune with him. So he'll shake it up a little bit to let you know. I'm still here. I'm around.
I'm still here. Thank you, God, Joe. Good analogy. And he says, the curtains of the land of the Medeans tremble. It's a group related to us, the Medeans. Oh, Yah, Were you displeased with the river? Was your anger against the sea? He said you wouldn't displeased with these inanimate objects, but us. Was your wrath against the sea that you rode on your horses, your chariots of salvation, Your bow was made ready. Oaths are sworn over your arrows, Shelah. You divide the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you. They acknowledged you. They were codified for you. But not
so,
as human.
So
uh-huh.
Those things are not so inanimate.
No, they didn't. No.
If the mountains saw them, the rivers were afraid, they're not so inanimate. We think they're inanimate. But
no.
God knows that they see him and feel him and understand that it's him.
They have life.
Oh, yeah.
And they're codified in their life. And Yah's making reference to these things that they knew you. But why couldn't we garner him? Why couldn't we grasp him? Why couldn't we see him? But these things saw him. That's what he's getting at. The mountains saw you and trembled. The overflowing of the water passed by you. The deep uttered his voice. The deep had a voice and lifted his hands on high. The deep has hands that lift up to the Most High. The sun and moon still are still in their habitation because they follow your codification. At the light of your arrows, they went. They went wherever you told them to go, unlike us. At the shining of your glittering spear, they went where you told them to go and stayed where you told them to stay. You marched through the land in indignation. You trapped the nations in anger because we don't listen to the Most High. We're not codified to him. You went forth for the salvation of your people, which is us, for your salvation with your anointed, which is the whole nation. You struck the head from the house of the wicked. You took us from Mizraim for a reason, by laying bare foundation fundamentals to net. You thrust through with his own arrows, the head of his villages. They came out like a whirlwind to scatter me, us speaking. Their rejoicing was like feasting on the poor in secret. They feast on us when we ain't got Yah with us in secret. You walk through the sea with your horses, through the heap of great waters, Yah. When I heard my body tremble, my lips quivered at your voice, rottenness entered my bones, and I trembled in myself, or should have, because we would know we're nothing. We're nothing but the servants of the Most High, and that's all we should want to be, that I might rest in the day of trouble. When he comes up to the people, which is us, you invade them with troops. You're them headbusters. If you ain't get codified like those things he just mentioned in previous verses that we just read, the divided earth with rivers, the mountains saw you and trembled. They're codified. They follow the Most High. And if you're not codified by the Most High, rottenness will enter my bones. And I tremble in myself, and so you should, that I might rest in the day of trouble, reliance on the Most High, getting codified to him. When he comes up to the people, he will invade them with troops, them headbusters, so you can get some get right. And here, Habakkuk goes on to sing a little ditty. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruits be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, this is how you all be, all of us. And the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will remember, rejoice in the Elohim. I rejoice in the Yah of my salvation, and know that ain't no party, ain't no camp, ain't no so-called religion, ain't no church, or nothing going to do anything for you but the Elohim. Realize that and sing about that. Put your trust and reliance in that and that alone. That's what Habakkuk is saying. Yah Elohim is my strength. He will make my feet like the deer's feet. He will make me walk on the high hills to the chief musician with my string instruments. Praise Yah. It's just that simple. Don't make it. Cottrell, could I sing a little bit at the end, my brother?
That's right, that would sound like a song.
Can I hit a note, Cottrell, my brother?
Oh, yes, the sisters approve, man.
Yeah, I approve. Cottrell don't sing. Please don't sing,
Cottrell. Stop it. Praise you. Go ahead, Cottrell. Sister Avia, bless you, sister.
I was going to say something right quick, which I think is important.
Yes, ma'am.
Where it states in verse 12
okay.
and 13.
Yes, ma'am.
It says, you step through the earth in rage.
Yes, ma'am.
You thrush the Gentiles in wrath.
Right.
You
right.
shall go forth, save
right.
your people.
Right.
To save your anointed.
And that's what
you
we should do.
Yes.
And you're right. You're quite correct, Sister Yehudi. You are quite correct. And that's the only entity going to save us out of these situations we find ourselves in. Universe, ain't no camp, ain't no religion, ain't no nothing going to save us. But the LOM, praise your name. You're quite correct.
But the awakening is happening now. Despite the differences in the awakening, it's happening. And we think about all what we studied, and they thought that the prophet, and certain people were unusual or weird. And we're something, yeah. So we're going to get a little bit of that today. May seem weird and unusual. And like, if this thing is snowballed, it's not going to stop. With this anti-whatever, it's going to keep going. But it's up to us to stand up for what is right to the best of our ability and not be afraid. Because he said, if you're ashamed of me, I'm ashamed of you. And it was wonderful today to pray. It just, something came over. I'm going to say it right quick. To pray in the elevator as I was leaving. People are in the elevator. And it just hit me to start talking.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel the spirit of the Most High. They were just, one brother said, thank you, sister, I needed that. I needed that today.
Mm-hmm.
To know. And he said like this, that our God, I know he, man, that's okay, is looking out for us. I said, the Most High is.
You better believe it.
Praise God.
Praise God. Wish I had, we had a whole lot more sisters like you, Sister Yehudi. Instead of being on elevators and talking dirty talk and violent talk and sex, you know, telling some truth, not no hot mess. Wish we had a whole lot more sisters like you. Praise God.
Hallelujah. That's Most High. I have to put the words in my mouth.
Praise God. And so
God.
We did. So we did.
That was a good chapter.
The prophet is saying, huh?
Mm-hmm.
You got some lyrics. His lyrics are critical.
And Yasu backed it up.
Thank you very much, dear sister. Bless you, sister. You know, everybody can't appreciate a good talent as mine. Some people. That's all right.
Yeah, the thing about this song is that he lets us know that all of creation, the earth, the mountains, the rivers, and what they say is nature, acknowledges the Most High. But he really
mm-hmm.
is trying to shake up mankind, the nations. Ever since the flood in the Tower of Babel, which the Most High caused nations to be born at the Tower of Babel because they were challenging him, nations have not tried to get in contact or connect with the Creator like they should. So every now and then, the Most High will shake up the earth. And we need to pay attention to what he does. There's earthquakes going on now that are devastating the lives of people in Indonesia right now.
Yes.
Oh, yes. 154 people are climbing that died. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Indonesia is one of those places where the rich and famous go to practice their perversions.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're right.
They got hit with
they got hit with that tsunami that took out like 200,000 people, but apparently they haven't learned the lesson.
Mm-hmm.
So the Most High will shake up the heavens and the earth when he's angry and he pour out his anger on the earth where mankind and the nations aren't paying attention. So it's definitely important for us to pay attention to the times we live in it and Yah's message to us as his servants.
Praise Yah, Katya.
Praise Yah.
Yes,
praise
we have God. To. And if we
My
don't, we get caught up.
No doubt.
You're right. Yep.
I'm trying to pull up this piece.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I'm trying to pull up this piece that...
Because if Sister Avia doesn't have a commentary on Katria, I imagine it's going to the next segment of study.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up on my computer.
Okay. A proverb?
Well, I can sing for you while you're pulling it up.
Okay, go ahead.
Don't rush it. Don't
rush it. Don't rush it. Go ahead and sing. Man, you know you've been saying it, so sing.
Yeah, I'm going to sing. I'm going to sing Proverbs 23. Not Proverbs, Psalms 23. Okay, while Katya's pulling up his information. Anytime is a good time to sing praises to the Most High. Isn't it? Made an opportunity for me. Okay, all right, let me put my glasses back on.
It's something that Katya said a while back makes sense while he's pulling it up. Back then, in slavery, and even after slavery, we sung songs that if you listen, we had to know something about, we had to know who we were. Not it got gospel, but we were actually singing to our Creator. With Moses, the things that Katra has said in the past, which is so true.
Mm-hmm.
Come
and
by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Come by here, my Lord, come by here. Oh, Lord, come by here. Don't get me started now.
Praise God.
I got you.
Will somebody please get him off the stage so I can.
Okay.
Thank you. Praise God.
Get your day job, please.
Okay, y'all ready? Y'all sing along with me. The Elohim is my
shepherd.
He makes me to walk down, to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still water. He restores my soul. He leads me in the past. O righteousness, for his name's sake. Yea, do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my heart, head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I would dwell in the house of the Elohim forever. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Y'all see that little something going on.
Hallelujah.
King David, I love that, baby. Yo, suit got a little something going on. Katria, how you like your apples, my brother?
What's the question?
Oh, you heard the question, my man. How you like them apples?
They're kind of green to me, but they are.
Y'all see what I'm saying? See what I'm saying?
Here we go. Green apples are the best apples to bake with. So
they kind of sour.
That's why they got the best one. Yeah.
You got to bake it, though.
Yeah.
And baking takes time.
That's the practice.
We take, and Katra is the very one that told me practice make perfect.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. There's people out there that can't say that is rich and famous.
Exactly.
James Brown is one.
Mm-hmm. James Brown.
Well, he's a good entertainer. That's why.
Yeah.
You know that.
The man could not sing.
He couldn't. It's true. I agree with you. He was just a good entertainer. That's why.
Yeah.
He does a little dance and scream and do all that little stuff going on. And there it
but
is.
The man could not sing.
No,
we know that.
I know what he's trying to say, but that's all right. Praise y'all. I'm good.
Yeah.
Y'all want to hear it again? Go ahead, Gotcha.
No.
Y'all want to hear it again? Okay. Go ahead, Gotcha.
The thing about James Brown, he wanted to make you clap your hands and stomp your feet. Clap your hands and stomp your feet.
That's what we always do.
I'll be honest, they didn't went back in their
trailer, though, so we'll know. I'm not saying not a word. No, I ain't saying a word either. Let them carry on.
Why are you calling Fred out so much? Anyway, I done pulled it up, y'all. It's kind of long.
What is a song? You on song?
We actually have proverb, but go ahead, y'all.
Oh, you talking about, no, I'm not going to sing again. I'm waiting on you, my brother.
Oh, okay. So tonight, Sissy Hootie, he asked me to give the definition again of the meaning in the terms Christ, Messiah, and Mashiach.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to do that tonight, and we're going to begin proverbs tomorrow.
Okay.
Is that okay with you?
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Praise God. The true meaning and definition of the terms Christ, Messiah, and Mashiach. Does anybody out there know what it means?
Yes, we all know what it means.
All right. Origins of the anointing. Aaron and his son. Let me give you the definition though first. Strong's definition of the term Mashiach, anointed, usually a consecrated person, such as a king, priest, and they say, or saint. No, it was only the kings and the priests that got anointed with the oil. Then they say the Messiah, anointed Messiah. The Hebrew word for Messiah is Mashiach, and it means the same thing, anointed. Christ is Greek, and a Greek definition, Christ was and is the Messiah, the Son of God, and the second definition is anointed, but they throw Christ was and is the Messiah, but he was never anointed, priest or king, with any kind of oil. So the origins of the anointing comes from Moses' brother Aaron and Aaron's sons, who are the only priests in the nation of Israel. Yes, they are Levites. They come from the family of Kohath, as does Moses, Aaron's brother. But only Aaron and his sons can be priests in the nation of Israel. Not even Moses' sons, who is Aaron's brother, who are both Kohathites. Moses' sons cannot be priests. They are Kohathites, and they have their portion within the tabernacle, in the sanctuary, in the temple, that they play to help the priests, Aaron's brothers. So Moses' sons, cousins of Aaron's sons, would be helping their cousins as Aaron's sons would be priests. So Exodus 28, this is the first anointing. The first man ever to be anointed is Aaron. In the book of Exodus, chapter 28, bring Aaron, your brother, and his sons with him near to you from among the children, they got that word, of Israel, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. So how many sons did Aaron have?
Me.
Four. Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar.
All right.
Aaron's sons. You shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So this is a special occasion. This ain't just any occasion. These garments had to be made with specifications and codifications. You shall speak to all who are wise-hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to sanctify him. You hear that? People throw that word around. Sanctify. I'm sanctified. I'm already sanctified. No, you're not. You're not a priest. You're not anointed. The garments and the oil, the anointing, are what make them sanctified men, that he may minister. And why are you sanctified? To minister to the Spirit of the Most High, to minister to me in the priest's office. These are the garments which they shall make, a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, filled, fitted tunic, a turban, and a sash. They shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, and his sons, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. They shall use the gold and the blue and the purple and the scarlet and the fine linen to make these garments, which are what? What did he call them? Holy garments. Holy. Garments that are sanctified. Right?
Exactly.
Exodus 29. It continues. This is the thing that you shall do to them to make them holy, the priests that are going to minister to the Most High in the priest's office. Take one young bull and two rams without defect, unleavened bread, unleavened cakes, mixed with oil and unleavened wafers, anointed with oil. You shall make them a fine flour of wheat. You shall put them into one basket and bring them in the basket with the bull and the two rams. So there's a whole sacrificing process that they had to go through besides the oil being poured on them. You shall bring Aaron and his sons into the door of the tent of meeting and shall wash them with water. Even before they went into the tent, they had to be washed down. The robe of the ephod and the breastplate, and clothe him with the skillfully woven band and the ephod. You shall set the tunic turban on his head and put the holy crown on the turban. Then you shall take the anointing oil and pour it on his head and anoint him with all his stuff on. And you shall bring his sons and put tunics on them. You shall clothe them with bells, Aaron and his sons, and bind headbands on them. And they shall have the priesthood by a perpetual statute. You shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. So who else can be priests in the nation of Israel?
To the lineage of Aaron.
Nobody except the sons of Aaron, the family of Aaron. So you can't go to school and study to be a priest. You can't have some osmosis experience and Yah told you that you was a priest. No, this is a serious process. And Exodus, the next chapter, it goes in deeper. How do you make this oil that they're pouring on Aaron and his sons? It says, moreover, Yah spoke to Moses saying, also take fine spices of liquid myrrh. This is the ingredients of this holy anointing oil. You know, people are making this oil today.
Yeah, they
should.
Are. Mm-hmm.
So this is where they get the ingredients, Exodus 30. Also take fine spices of liquid myrrh, 500 shekels, and of fragrant cinnamon, half as much, even 200 1/5, and of fragrant cane, 200 1/5, and acacia, 500, according to the shekel of the sanctuary, and a hint of olive oil. You shall make it into a holy anointing oil. a perfume compound after the art of the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing. You shall use it to anoint the tent of meeting, the ark of the covenant, which they're looking for now, and they'll never find, the table and all its articles, which they stole and is in the Vatican right now, the menorah, the table, showbread, the lamp, all that's in the Vatican right now. The table and its articles, the lamp, stand, and its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burning, burnt offering, with its utensils, and the basins with its base, you shall sanctify them, that they may be most holy. Whatever touches them shall be holy. So what makes these things holy and most holy? It's the anointing oil. And they have to pour that oil over all this stuff. You shall anoint Aaron and his sons. After you anoint the Ark of the Covenant, the tent of meeting, the table and the articles, the lamp, the stand, accessories, the incense, the burnt offering, and its utensils. After you do that, you have to anoint Aaron and his sons and sanctify them, that they may minister to me in the priest's office. So these priests had to have sons, right? There was no celibacy. Aaron had sons. It means that Aaron had a wife, which means that there were women in these spaces, right? You shall speak to the children of Israel, say, this shall be a holy anointing oil to me throughout your generations. It shall not be poured on man's flesh, and do not make any like it according to its composition. It is holy. It shall be holy to you. Whoever compounds any like it, whoever puts it in a layman, shall be cut off from his people. Only the high priests and the priest's sons of Aaron were anointed until the king, King Saul, was anointed king of Israel hundreds of years later.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
That was beautiful. Yes. I apologize to everybody. I have to go. Shemaiah is having on YouTube a discussion about the unity of Islamic people with Israel. So I've hopefully be back tomorrow, but I forgot it was tonight. And it started at 7:30, so.
Praise God.
Bless everybody on the line. Be safe. And walk in righteousness.
You be safe as well.
Thank you. Shalom.
God bless you.
Shalom.
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 Yeah, thank you, Kaja. That was quite beautiful. And the young brother from Memphis had wanted a question. But
yes.
I guess he wants you to stop speaking. I don't do that. I let you finish, and I text him back that once you finish speaking, he can introduce any information that he felt pertinent to the conversation. I guess he's gone. Maybe he'll come back. But, you know, these young folks, man, they got to learn common courtesy, okay? You don't go to school to interrupt a professor. I mean, we got it bad. I've noticed that before. Not only him, but a lot of people. As I said, we happy to get something. So here he's back. Brother Quan, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
You know, shalom. I'm getting ready to say, what about, like, when they say Deuteronomy 28, verse 15, when they said that it will be proper like unto Moses. And also Isaiah 9:6, when it said unto the son is born, the son is given.
So you're posing a question to Cottrell? Those two questions?
No, this I want to say opposed, but this would be like calling for dialogue, like just trying to see, I heard him quote Exodus, but also this is in reference to Yeshua, it said a child was born in Isaiah. Man, this now recently reading from the Old Testament. It said a child was born, a son is given, and then you know, a lot of things. I know a lot of the transliterations from different versions and languages, because it came from Hamar, then it went from to the Hebrew, then it went to the Greek, to the Latin, and now we have English. And the Catholic Church wrote it in Latin, where it comes about to read it no way, and they punish people for even trying to hold their own Bible studies because they wanted to be in control of everything, so they could tell them whatever they wanted to tell them, and then they took even books out. But what I was hearing to say was is that when they said Isaiah in the Old Testament that a child born a son was given. Since we just talk about Old Testament right now, and then Deuteronomy, it said it'll be a prophet that was speaking like unto Moses. I mean, can we try to iterate as far as what does it translate or what does it mean? What does it mean?
Roger, I think he's posing.
You asking me about the prophecy in Isaiah? What does that mean?
Yeah, Isaiah 9:6. It said a child was born, a son was given, and the kingdom of the world and the government should be set upon his shoulders. And then in Deuteronomy, it said that would be a prophet that would speak like unto Moses.
In Deuteronomy, the children of Israel asked to speak to the Most High, like Moses was speaking to him. And the Most High said, all right, in 3 days, prepare yourself because I'm going to come speak to you. When the Most High came to speak to the nation of Israel, he spoke the first 10 commandments. That's why we call it the 10 commandments. There's actually 613 commandments, laws, and statutes. 613,
yes,
yes. And he didn't speak all of them. He only spoke 10.
After
the first 10, they asked him to stop because they thought it would kill them. He said, all right, I'm going to send a prophet from your midst when I need to speak to you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not one prophet.
Go ahead.
It's Isaiah. It's Jeremiah. It's Ezekiel. It's Daniel. It's Hosea, Micah, Zephaniah, Malachi, Nahum, Habakkuk. These are prophets like Moses.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing Yah's message to his people, Yisrael.
So what about Elder Isaiah 9:6 when it said, a son is born, a son is given. Not sons, but a son is born, and the son is given. And then the government be set upon his shoulders. What about that one?
All right, let's go to Isaiah 9.
I believe it's Isaiah 9:6. Hold on. Who are with you?
Read the whole chapter.
Okay. Hold on, just a minute. It says, nevertheless, them this shall not be such as.
Stop from verse one.
Started verse 1. Okay, I'll read that. Okay, it says, nevertheless, them shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nation. The people that walk in darkness have seen a great light, and death upon them have the light shine. Thou hast multiplied the nations and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulders and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments, rolled in blood. But this shall be with burning and through the fire, for until the child is born, until the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty God, Yah, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David, that we upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment, with this justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord Adonai of hosts will perform this. The Lord Adonai sent a word into your code, Jacob, and they have lighted up Israel. All the people shall know, even Ephraim and the inhabitants of Samaria, as say in the pride and stoutness of heart, the bricks are falling down, but we will build with hewn stones, and the sycamores are cut down, but we will change them into cedar. Therefore, Adonai shall set up the adversaries of Rezin against him and join the enemies together. The Syrians before and the Philistines behind, and they shall devour Israel with open mouth. For all of this, anger is not sent away, but it came and stretched out here. For the people turn of not unto him that smite of them, neither do they seek the Lord of hosts. Therefore, the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and root in one day. The ancient and horrible, he is the head, and the prophet that teaches lies, he is the tail. For the leaders of this people cause them to err. They that are led of them are destroyed. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men, neither have mercy on their fatherless and widows. Everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speak of folly. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. For wickedness burns as the fire. It shall devour the briars and the thorns, and shall kindle in the thickets and the forest, and they shall mount up like the lifting of the smoke. Through the wrath of the Lord of the hosts is the land darkened. The people shall be as the flame of the fire, and no man shall spare his brother, and he shall snatch on the right hand and be hungry. He shall eat on the left hand, and they shall not be satisfied. They shall eat every man the flesh of his own arm. Manasseh, Ephraim, and they together shall be against Judah. For all this, his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still.
None of that sounds like Christianity. The Most High is in control of everything that you read. Say that again.
No, I didn't hear you. Say it one more time.
I said everything you read is about the Most High, the creator of the universe, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and what he's going to do so far as his judgment is concerned, right?
Mm-hmm.
You trying to figure out who this child is, right?
Yeah.
And you're only speculating because you really haven't really studied Yah's complete word. Because Yah's talking about King David.
I understand it. So let me ask you this then. And we just call it some dialogue because, like I said, it's things that we still learning and stuff like that. Like, and then, you know, it's like for example, you can read the same Bible verse and get a new revelation. Or you read the same Bible verse every day and you can get a new revelation, you know.
And therein lies the problem, because you're only reading verses and you're not reading chapters. When people read just verses out, they get mixed up and they get lost. When you read whole chapters, you get full understanding.
Now I understand it, but even if you read a whole chapter, it can be a revelation that he pointed out to you another day.
So what you just read, how does that apply to Yeshua?
I mean, for one, so let me ask you this, because I mean, I know we all still learning, like it's things that, you know, I don't know, you don't know. No, all the person that knows God is the Most High. The reason why I say this is because if Yahshua didn't exist, then John the Yohanan the Baptist, and who was Miriam, and who was Joseph, and all this.
So they say John the Baptist was Elijah the prophet, right?
Yes, sir. And then and another thing too, like a lot
so,
of.
So
lot,
wait
like,
a minute. Wait a minute. Don't go off. You brought up John the Baptist, right? They
yes,
say
sir.
John the Baptist was Elijah the prophet, right? Do you think that's true?
No. I don't know what you're talking about.
Because John the Baptist got his head cut off.
No, I understand it. But John
All
the
right.
Baptist.
Because Malachi says. The prophet Malachi says the prophet Elijah is coming back. Read Malachi chapter 4. My computer's acting up.
Malachi
chapter 4. Elijah the prophet. He ain't getting his head cut off. Trust me.
No, I'm going to cut you over here. And we're just doing that. Like, so, I'm not disrespecting you.
No. I'm just showing you the fallacy of the New Testament. Because they try to apply what they say, John the Baptist, he's Elijah the prophet. He's not.
No, I know what you. I think I know what you're talking about. That's when because like I said, it's good to like study, you know, different things and like and whatever you don't need, you can meet out the bones. But what I'm saying is that okay, the disciples Tasha Dean, okay, they actually say who they say you are. Then the disciples say, I'm gonna say John the Baptist. Then someone said, you the Christ. So he'll be struggling with scripture without having a problem with learning something.
When you say Christ, who are you talking about? When you say Christ, who are you talking about? Because Yeshua was never anointed. I just read the definition of anointed. The sons of Aaron are anointed, and the kings of Israel, King Saul, King David, and his son. Nowhere in the New Testament does it say in any book, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, that Yeshua was ever anointed.
I understand, like, even with the words. But
so you can't call him Christ or Messiah or Mashiach. You can't.
Okay, so let me ask you something. So what would you call him? What would you call him?
I call him mythology because the New Testament tries to say that they are the fulfillment of the prophecies, of the ancient prophecies, but they don't fulfill any of the prophecies that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave by words to his prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Zephaniah, Malachi, because all those prophecies are in reference to the children of Israel and our condition and what we're doing and what we're not doing.
I understand it, and we just dialed. I was going to agree with it. So, okay, let's fast forward. Okay, let's hypothetically say, okay, what about Revelation? And Charles Young, what about Revelation? So, you telling me all this stuff when they say Babylon or Fallen and something, the great city, so all this, so with the New Testament, so you telling me all this, so we're not living in the blood moon, we didn't have a plague, and then Babylon.
Babylon is mentioned in the Old Testament as far as Israel's history. We went into captivity way before anybody in Revelation mentioned Babylon. As a matter of fact, Daniel told us that Babylon was the first kingdom, Medo-Persia was the second kingdom, and the Greco-Roman Empire was the third and fourth kingdom. He's the one that they get their source from. Revelation get their source from the book of Daniel. He talks about the four beasts and the dreams that King Nebuchadnezzar had and the visions that he had. His vision was so disturbing, Yah told him, don't worry about it.
Okay,
but
so
you got to read these things. You got to read these things. Yes, sir.
Let me ask you this. What about the seven seals being broken in the last day?
What about the what?
The angel blowing the trumpet. What
your phone
this?
Is kind of breaking up because I can't understand your question.
Can you hear me now?
It's a little bit better, yeah.
Okay, no, I was just asking you. I was saying, what about the seven seals and then the angel blowing the trumpet? What about this?
You said the seven hills?
The seven seals with the four horsemen, the black horse, the red horse, the speckled horse, the white horse, the four horses. The four horses with the trumpet with blood and the blood turning, making them in a moon into blood.
Do me a favor, read Isaiah 13. And tell
okay,
me where you
on,
think Revelation got that from.
Thank you.
You looking for Isaiah 13, bro?
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, okay, okay. It said the burden of Babylon, we got Amos, D.S.C. Lead me up a banner of strong mountain, exalt the voice of the hands, that they may go into the gates of the nobles. I have commanded my sanctified ones, I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger. Even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as the great, great people, a tumultuous noise of the kingdoms of nations gathered together, and the Lord of hosts mustered the host of the battle. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, and even the Lord in the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. How you for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pain and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh cruel, both with wrath, fierce anger, to lay the land desolate. He shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light, and the sun shall be darkened in his going forth. And the moon should not cause her light to shine. And I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogance of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man that the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place, and the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and the day of his fierce anger. And it shall be as a chased rope, and as a sheep that no man taketh up. They shall every man turn to his own people and flee everyone into his own land. And everyone that is found shall be thrust through, and everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. And their children also shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, and their houses shall be spoiled, and their wives ravished. Behold, I will stir up the meats against them, which shall not regard silver as for gold, and they shall not delight in it. Their bows also shall dash the young men in pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb, and their eyes shall not spare children. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God Yahuwah overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. It shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. Neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their foes there. But wild beasts of the desert shall lie there, and the houses shall be full of doleful creatures, and owls shall dwell there, and satyrs shall dance there, and the wild beasts of the houses shall cry in their desolate houses, and dragons in their pleasant palaces. And her time is near to come, and her day shall not be too long.
So we already know what's going to happen to Babylon, right? Y'all told us right here. You don't have to worry about Revelation. Y'all broke it down right here.
Okay.
And we've never seen Yah shake up the heavens and the earth. We've never seen Yah stop the sun from shining and the moon and the stars withdraw their light. No, there's never been a day like that. We talk about Yah's fierce anger, the day of judgment, the final judgment, brother. Babylon, we in it now. And Yah just destroyed. Yes. What are you going to do with it?
Yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So you need you don't need revelations. Yah's word is right here, all up in the Old Testament.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Meditate on this one. Yah said he's going to bring his host from the other side of heaven. He said you're going to see them one time and one time only. Woo-wee. Is people ready for that? I don't think so.
On the front of my mind, you know, I was going to get rid of it. Say or ask you. I can't think about it right now. That's what I was going to tell you today. When everybody probably get a chance, if y'all would like to, I mean, you know, if y'all would like, if y'all go look up Kyrie, I don't know, something just came to my mind, but I was just thinking about looking it up, and I went to, I said, what is Kyrie in Hebrew? And I knew it was an English language, but I knew I said it had to be like an Arabic or it had to be It said that it like in the Britannica, I guess it's like a derivative from the Greek, but like in Hebrew, it's like connected to like Christo or like or Yahweh. That's what it says. It's also the Britannica.
Well, Kai in Hebrew means life.
No, I know, you know, you can't just depend on technology with the source, but I know the Britannica had used to look up different terms and references and things. It is so, like Tupac Shakur. I don't know if I'm saying the pronunciation right. I don't think I'm Shakur or Shakur, but it means Shakur. I mean, I'm not doing a pronunciation wrong, then you know you can let me know. But that's what that's about kind of over researching as well.
Yes, it's good that you're searching and researching up, and you need to stay tuned into the show because we study from Genesis to Malachi, chapter by chapter.
Okay.
We're about to finish the what they call a minor prophet. We're in the book of Habakkuk. You're about to go into.
Okay.
After Habakkuk is Zephaniah, then Hagar, then Zechariah and Malachi. Then we go back to Genesis.
Okay.
And these prophets have short books, so it won't be long before we're back in Genesis again. But you need to know these prophets, especially the prophet Joel. We did Joel already. If you read the third chapter of Joel, it's the same as Isaiah 13. Y'all talking about his day of judgment. And it don't quite fit with Revelation the thing.
I had another. Well, I'm just thinking if I'm wrong, but so it was saying like, don't say like those who live in captivity should go into captivity or something like
that. Your phone's breaking up again.
Don't it say something like, don't leave to captivity, should go into captivity, and it's another verse, I don't know if it's the same one, but it said the children of Judah have sold, they should sell you to the Chaldeans.
I'm not familiar with that, but I know that the Most High said he's going to bring Judah and Israel together and make us one nation in the book of Ezekiel 36 and 37.
Okay, I can get the verse about Judah. The sons of Judah, you have sold say your sons to the Samians. I'm going to be real with you. I know you're on the time schedule and everything organized on the shop. Well, I'm going to go to the scripture right now.
Yasu, if you understood what he said?
Yes. I wasn't clear on the last. I wasn't clear on the last statement.
Okay. Hold on just a second. Oh, yes, sir. It's Joel 3 and 8, since you were talking about Joel.
Joel has only 3 chapters.
No, that's what I'm saying, sir. Joel chapter 3, verse 8. It says, Joel chapter 3, and they say, I will seal your sons and to the people of Judah. They will seal the beings, the Sabians, a people far off. In the...
Who's he talking about?
I guess it's recompense. Like, since it's like those in the captivity. Okay, like, Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 15 through 68.
Don't go there. Stay right where you're at. Joel 3. I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. Verse 5. Because you have taken my silver and my gold and have carried my finest treasures into your temples, you have sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem to the sons of the Greeks, that you may remove them far from their border. Behold, I will stir them up out of their place where you have sold them, which is what you're doing now. And will return your repayment on your own head.
I will sell your sons like you sold my sons and your daughters into the hands of the children of Judah, and they will sell them to the men of Sabaoth and to a faraway nation, for Yah has spoken it. But he's talking to the fourth verse, yes. And what are you to me, Tyre and Sidon, and all the regions of Philistia? Will you repay me? And if you repay me, I will swiftly and speedily return your repayment on your own head. Why? Because you've taken my silver and my gold. You've carried my finest treasure into your temple. You have sold the children of Judah and the children of Jerusalem to the Greeks.
Yes, sir.
So, verse 8, yeah, you could take that out and interpret it any kind of way. That's why you have to read the whole chapter to know what the subject matter is.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But is it that speaking on future tense?
It is future tense. It hasn't happened yet, has it? We're still captured by the Greeks, the Greco-Roman Empire. We're still under the Greco-Roman Empire right now.
Yes, sir. And that's another thing too. You gotta finish with the verses, and I'm gonna go ahead and just be listening from this point on. But I was gonna to say, like, I know everybody had, like, most flowers gonna blossom at the same time, so everybody ain't gonna get it at the same time. And so, like, we have different things they have to use them. Like, one person battle with might be some battle with something like that. Everybody's weaknesses and strengths are different. But I was gonna to say,
it's funny because
I
hear every other word you're saying, and I can't put it together. I don't know what's wrong with your phone. I hear every other word you say.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Way better.
Okay, I was just saying that I know that, you know, like flowers don't blossom at the same time and everybody don't learn awake at the same time and stuff like this. It's a process, and it depends on how many generation of curses people got to break and whatever idolatry what they've been attached to. And whatever, like in a personal life and stuff like that, and everybody's strengths and weaknesses. The thing about it is, what I was trying to understand.
We lost you again.
Yeah, you break it up again.
He's still on the line, y'all too?
Yeah, still on the line, buddy. You know, we can't hear anything he's saying.
Hear me now?
Yes.
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay, I said that why do people want to be Greeks when the Greeks was one of the captivities that we was in? And I mean, I understand it just like, you know, it's colonialism and stuff like that. But it's just something like probably to be thought about, you know, and I know it takes time just like, it takes time for people probably to stop eating pork. It takes time for people to stop smoking or drinking or whatever they got going on. But I'm just saying, it just don't say something just to be, you know, to think about or something like this. Think about, though. That's all I'm saying.
Well, the Greeks right now have the power, right?
Yeah, we all.
The power that y'all give them,
yeah.
Yes, they're a fourth kingdom, and they do have power. And people like power,
yep.
People like the people that's in control, that got the money, that got the luxury, that's living a fast lifestyle, the luxury lifestyle. But
yes,
y'all don't bring it down. We shouldn't be dependent on Babylon. Right?
Yeah.
They got rich,
yes, sir,
by exploiting y'all's people. And y'all going to pay them back for doing that. Every nation that has put their hands on y'all's people has paid the price. And you just read that these people got a price to pay, too. Yah said, vengeance is mine, and he's going to take vengeance out on these nations. We just read it. He's going to shake up the earth,
shake up
the heavens. The nations are in trouble. They keep messing with us, and the enemies to the Most High, when they should be praising and exalting their Creator. But you can see the difference when you read the whole chapter as opposed to taking one verse. And
I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
In the context. Yeah. It's important.
You're saying don't just cherry pick it, like read the whole thing and get a better understanding.
Right. You can't cherry pick a math book, can you?
No,
you
better
study chapter by chapter. Chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you get the math concepts, right?
Yes, sir.
You can't open up a math book in the middle of the book and understand the concepts. You have to start with chapter 1. The basics, fundamentals. And that's what we bring, fundamental of Yah's word.
He sent these prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Zephaniah, Malachi. People want other books to find out about the books that are right here. No, read these books. Find out what they say. And when you read other books, you find out maybe they're a little off because they don't really match what Yah is saying in Zephaniah, Zechariah, Joel, Ezekiel. Right? Because Revelation don't match up with Isaiah 13 and Joel 1, 2, 3. Yah's perception of the judgment, the day of his wrath, is way different from what Revelation is talking about. Because Revelation don't even mention the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
But can I ask you a question then? In Revelation, when they talk about the city coming down, New Jerusalem coming down, and the 12 gates will have the 12 tribe names on them, and then the steps will have the names of the apostles, and they talk about the different colors of the stones and all this.
But they actually got that from the book of Ezekiel, because Ezekiel was taken on a tour of the temple by an angel, and he gave the full description of what it looked like. And if you read the book of Ezekiel, he'll tell you what it looked like.
So let me ask you this. So what about when John or the Revelator was on the island of Patmos? What about that whole thing?
Well, you're talking about a Greek document, the New Testament, and the Greeks and the Israelites were enemies up until the time of the Maccabees. The Maccabees tried to beat them down, but they didn't have enough force. They held it down for a little while, but the Greeks and the Israelites were enemies. Most I just showed you right here in this chapter, the people that we were familiar with, the Philistines, people of Tyre, they sold us to the Greeks, and the Greeks wrote the New Testament. So you're going to follow what the Greeks say, and you're going to follow what the Israelite prophets say. We don't even know who Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and who's – if you read Revelations 1, right?
Yeah.
Revelations chapter 1, it confuses you because you don't know who's giving a revelation. Is it the angel giving it to Jesus? Is Jesus giving it to John? Who's getting a revelation? Is it John? Is it Jesus? Is it the angel from the Most High? Who is it? They say John the Revelator. But when you read the chapter, it's the angel that gave the information to Jesus, and Jesus supposedly gave it to John. That's confusion.
Okay, so well, what about as far as like so when you talk about like this is like archaeology proof too, so to speak. Okay, so what about like even like in Rome and stuff like how Paul and Peter went, and then their tombs and all that is there, and then how they were crucified there.
More into that history and into Israelite history. The ancient Israelite nation, the Old Testament tells our history. Do you know that the Most High told the prophet Daniel to seal the book until the end time? Mm-hmm. He's the last prophet.
Sir.
He told Daniel to seal the book. So there were no more prophets that came after Daniel, a prophet. So who is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? These are men that wrote about Jesus, Yeshua, 50 years after he died. Would you want somebody writing about you and quoting you 50 years after you're dead?
Okay. 50 years after you died. So can I ask you a question? So, like, I mean, I know you got, like, false writers then and then you have them now. So what about all the scrolls and all that and, you know, stuff like that, like the Dead Sea Scrolls and all this stuff like that? What about stuff like this?
You have to have a foundation first, the Old Testament, Yah's Word. And when you read the Dead Sea Scrolls, there's some validity to it. Once you understand the foundation of the Old Testament in completion, if you can start going up into the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Book of Jasher, the Book of Enoch.
Yeah, I understand. You got to start with the foundation first. I understand it.
It's degrees. And wisdom is discipline. You know, discipline by degrees. It's just like martial art. You can't be a black belt.
Yes,
you like what the black belts do, but you got to start at a white belt. You have to start a white belt. You can't do what the black belts is doing, right? It's discipline. You got to be patient. You got to be disciplined. You got to be persistent to get to the level of black belt, right? So the foundation, you got to go through Genesis to Malachi.
They got Malachi the last book, but Daniel's supposed to be the last book. But that, it is what it is. We read from Genesis chapter by chapter to Malachi. Every word. Yah said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that he's spoken. So we need to know what Yah said. And Matthew don't say what Yah said. Mark doesn't speak what Yah said. Luke definitely don't say what Yah said. Nor does John. None of them quote the Most High. None of them are prophets of the Most High. They talk about Jesus, Yeshua, and to the point where people are worshiping him as an idol worldwide. Worldwide, they're worshiping a man. He said, put not your trust in man, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no help. The Most High has to redeem and rescue the anointed. He had to rescue his kings. He had to rescue the priests, the anointed. Isaiah, yeah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel are priests, which means they're all anointed, which means they're all Christ. They're all Mashiach. Mm. And when the Most High sent them, our people did not listen to them at all. They didn't listen to Moses. Moses was a Mashiach, but his brother was Aharon, the first Messiah, the first Christ. If you ask people who was the first Christ, they don't know. Because they don't know what Mashiach or Christ or Messiah means. They think it's Jesus. He's the Messiah. And he's nothing of the sort because he was never anointed. Some woman put oil on his feet. And that's not the anointing process. It's not. It's just not.
So when it talks about the order of Melchizedek, what about this?
It's mentioned in scriptures. Melchizedek, a lot of people theorize and speculate that he was Noah's son Shem. Melchizedek.
Because if I am mistaken, it said, wouldn't Abraham go, or somebody went to go give something to the king of Salem and stuff like that?
Well, King Melchizedek, he was king of Salem, right? And our father, yeah, Abraham gave him a tithe, an offering, mm-hmm, because he wanted to give honor and glory to the Most High, because he had just defeated five kings with 318 men to rescue his nephew Lot, which we don't talk about. But Abraham was a mighty man.
Because like I said, I'm not trying to take too much time, because I know you have a schedule and stuff like this. So mm-hmm, as far as like the tomb and if you go to Jerusalem and stuff like that, I know a lot of stuff is like, for example, like the Western Wall, like that was built by the Romans. I know the Daniel Fisher one. I know the Temple Daniel Fisher one. A lot of it was there of the Roman occupation and all this stuff like that. But what I was getting ready to say is that, okay, whose tomb you're supposed to be in? I'm saying like some of these places are real places. I'm saying just like remnants of Noah's Ark or the ship on Mount Ararat in Turkey on a mountain because the earth had flooded. So that means they had to get up to that means the sea level had rose. So I mean and then it's even to go, you know, to dialogue with Moses, like people that don't believe in the Torah try to say that it ain't number fairy tale. I'm talking about the book itself now. And I know you got to get on schedule, but the book itself, okay, you got the spiritual experiences people have that people might say try to refute it. And I'm in agreement on you with this. People might say that it's a spirit experience. Anybody can try to refute that, okay, because they said it might be your belief. But then what about to the unbelieving people that be like, all this stuff never happened, but then they find relics and they find artifacts. For example, it was some scuba divers and some archaeologists who had went to the Reed Sea, and then they found Egyptian chariots according to their dynasty. Because it said it was a treasure city, and then so on both sides, Ramesses, they found the tombs of Ramesses, which was a real person, and we built the treasure city of Thebes, which was a real place, and then the people that studied Egyptology, or the archaeologists found the same Egyptian chariots that was and skull remains of the Egyptians at the bottom of the Red Sea, they correlate with the model of the chariot going back to the same dynasty that Ramesses was a part of, not before or not after, but in the same exact dynasty that Ramesses was king. So what about people that try to refute that when then you see those chariots and then those artifacts up under the reeds to prove that the story was true. I mean, that actually happened.
Well, actually, you can't really worry about what other people are doing, what other people are thinking, because your salvation depends on who? Depends on you.
On me, yes, sir.
The people in Noah's time, right? Noah's trying to tell them, the flood is coming. Help me build the ark. How many people helped Noah build the ark? It was only three, Noah and his son. And their wives.
Yes, sir.
Everybody else standing around looking at him laughing, not knowing that Yah's judgment was coming. And he couldn't spend time with them trying to convince them that the time was coming. He had to do what Yah told him to do, right?
Yes, sir.
So we read about the final judgment that's coming in Joel and mm-hmm. Isaiah 13. We got to prepare mm-hmm. ourselves for that day. And he ain't telling us to build no ark. He's telling us to look inside of ourselves, seek him, mm-hmm. and get right with him. Because we're going to witness his judgment in the earth against the wicked. And we don't want to be walking that wicked path. We want to be walking the path that's everlasting so we can praise Yah's name forever. That's the goal, to praise Yah's name forever. He's going to purify the earth. He's about to shake it up, coming with the purifying fire. And when that temple comes down from the heavens, it's going to bring blessing because Yah is going to have his dwelling place. And the nation of Israel is going to be delivered in the millions of all the nations. That's Yah's plan. So we got to get with it. That's why we study as hard as we do. We got to find out every word Yah's saying. And the more we understand, it makes us more comfortable in the situation that we're in. It gives us what we call holy bonus.
Mm-hmm.
We have faith in Yah, that Yah going to do what he said he's going to do. Because we witnesses to the Most High by the life that we're living. We're under this captivity. Our ancestors came here by ship. They sang songs about Moses and King David and Joshua fighting the battle at Jericho and songs about Israel. So we know,
yes,
we Israel. We ain't got to prove it to nobody. Y'all are going to prove it to the world. And they're going to be astonished and shocked that they treated Yah's treasure like they treated us. But he said we put ourselves in a situation. We put ourselves, our ancient fathers, they did what the other nations did. Worship idols, sacrifice their children to idols. And Yah said, I'm tired of it. Gave him so many opportunities, so many warnings. And he said, I'm going to scatter you now to four corners of the earth. And that's where we are.
And another thing, Elder Shamari, I was going to get ready to say, you know, I know you got to get back on schedule. You know, I know people didn't want to see, you know, people have different views and whatever, but I know people didn't want to see Kyrie, you know, lose his endorsement or whatever his deal with Nike. But I feel like, to me, the more I thought about it, as far as, you know, how I think it was probably a blessing in disguise, because when you look up the word Nike, because everything around us name has an origin, just like the Starbucks symbol of that lady. But if you look closely, you can see it's octopus arms, and that's the Marine Kingdom. That's La Sirene. That's the Marine Kingdom. And then when you look at when you read about Nike was a Greek goddess for like victory or something like that. So basically that was probably Most High doing, because he was like, since you know who you are and you trying to keep the word, okay, I'm gonna cut off any dealing with any connection with any idolatry.
That's the keen insight, because we should cut ourselves off from Nike, which is a Greek goddess for victory.
I mean, and you know, I know people can only afford what they can get, or people might not have known because like, you know what I'm saying, I sometimes be wearing it, but like I said, because some people can't control, somebody might buy you some clothes, or you can, but I mean, I feel like that, like, don't too much, you know, be like labor chasing and like research the origin, even with this smart technology, like you got Siri. Siri is a pagan deity as well, like all those names. Is origins of something.
as are the days of the week, the months of the year. We're in a Greco-Roman empire. We're in a Greco-Roman empire. And Yah said you're going to take us back. So we ain't got nothing to worry about. Because everything Yah said in these prophecies is true.
Yes,
so
sir.
We have hope. Our hope is greater than what they try to portray us or paint for us. Our hope is great as long as we're in tune with the Most High, which is what we're trying to do.
Yes, sir.
Because, like you said, all of us, none of us know it all. And we're trying to grab as much knowledge as we can. And trust me, we're glad you're here with us, young brother. And you're diligent
in
your research and your
studies.
Yeah, man. Because you need to be inspired, inspire the next generation. We need a twilight of our lives. And many people don't listen to old folks these days. But young people who got this fire and energy, we need to fire people up. And the Most High is using Kyrie as a firebrand to stir our people up, to do research, find out what he's talking about. We Hebrews, the Negroes. Okay. What that mean?
Yes, sir.
Well, Kwame, we enjoyed you, bro. Keep coming back.
I enjoyed y'all, too.
And
thank you for your questions, man. Because your questions, probably a lot of people have, but they're too afraid to ask. The fact that you step forward to ask these questions, keep doing it.
Yes, sir.
And I thank the brothers because it gave me a crash course, a refreshing of a crash course. So thank you. Come back.
Yes, ma'am.
Our platform is always open to you. We enjoyed the questions. May the Most High bless you.
We ain't saying we have all the answers. We just searching, just like you.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Keep coming back searching with us together. We'll get it right together. Praise God and bless your name. May the Most High bless each of us. May he continue to direct and order our steps. And we love you, Kwame. We love you, fellow students.
Love you, too.
Thank you, brother. Let's come together. Reasonably.
Mahalo,
thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Sister Avia. Thank you, Kwame. May the Most High bless you. Y'all want to say shalom, Kwame. Good night, Sister Avia. Brother Cartrell.
I was just going to say, keep seeking Yah, obey Yah, praise Yah, and shalom and good night, family.
Praise
shalom.
Yes, sir. And for the young brothers out there, Kwame and your peers, keep studying. Write them down. Write the questions down that you got, and we'll try to answer for you. Give thanks and praise to the Most High for allowing us to do that for our people. So we love y'all. Most High bless y'all. Shalom and good night.
Take me. I've been there once and I'll go again, just as long as you're the one to take me in. Like a free bird circling in the wind, I'll fly to your cage so you can take me in. Oh, won't you take me in? I've seen our mothers cry within, from our fathers who refuse to call us in.
but I sing